Yes, and now we'll talk about a different topic. The ability of undergraduates to write a thesis with originality or 独创性 in Chinese has been questioned by a professor if originality is required. Are we simply sending these undergraduate students on a wild goose chase? That is what the professor is pretty much saying. Guys, could you please start with explaining to me what originality entails and what is the problem here?
Well, basically, if you're a college student or university student here in China, once you write your dissertation, you really have to sign a paper, which is called the Statement of Originality. Basically, that is to say, use the best of your knowledge, the content of the thesis is your own work, and the thesis has not been submitted for any degree and other purposes. At the same time, there's a certain amount of originality in your dissertation. And that's why a lot of people found this to be very, very irrational. Professor Gao Qian from Anhui University suggests actually it should be cancelled. And Professor Gao points out that undergraduate students will find it difficult to be completely original when writing papers because their academic level is not high enough. And as the higher education has now become a mass education, the goal of college education is no longer to cultivate talentwith ability to research. So I think this argument really holds water because if you're just an undergraduate student and spend less than 1 month to write your dissertation, how can you be original?
Well, I don't think there's any problem with the statement of originality per se because...Outside of China, universities, for example, in the US and the UK, have this thing called the Honor Code, asking students to certify that you did your original work, which is, you know, widely accepted. You should be honest and do your own work. But I think the schools need to explain what their expectation is on originality. For example, if we, all three of us,read the same book and all of us independently come to the same conclusion about the topic. Does that mean we're not original? I think we are original, but it just happens that our ideas seem to collide or agree. But it depends on how we support our ideas and which comments we draw from the book to argue for our own points. It doesn't mean that three people have the same ideas, they are cheating. I don't think it means that.
That's a really interesting point, because I think the Chinese is, for this term, 独创性, it's subject to debate what it actually means, because it does have, if you break it down, it's kind of like individual,
distinctive
creativity involved. So...Yes, I see your interpretation, Victor, and I agree with you. But isn't, if we read the Chinese, what is trying to tell us, isn't it kind of expecting the students to elevate their academic work to even a higher level, that you're creating a new idea kind of thing? And that is certainly not something that undergraduate students can mostly achieve.
Yeah, I think that's the point of contention too, even when this professor from Anhui University brought it up, is that, for example, let me give you a number. The latest report from the Ministry of Education says China currently has 37 million students enrolled in higher ed institutions, including universities and graduate programs. Does that mean we have 37 million distinctive ideas when they all graduate? I mean, unlikely, right? But...does that mean they can do their original work? Probably. But it doesn't mean their ideas can't be the same through independent channels and research. Yeah. I think that's the point that needs clarification for schools and for students and for educators.
Definitely. Clarifications is urgently needed here. For one thing, you know, if you talk about originality, what do you mean by being original? If you're talking about studying a new company that nobody has ever studied before, it's impossible. Like, for example, if you want to do your dissertation on the organizational structure on PetroChina, probably thousands of scholars have already done this research before, and you are not the only person that is familiar with the organizational structure of PetroChina. For example, if you're talking about a new model, come on, if you're a finance major, models are limited, you know, and at the undergraduate level, how can you use a brand new model to testify your idea? It's just, if you are doing some empirical studies, probably the only original thing is the data set that you have collected. Other than that, no originality you can create out of nowhere, you know. You know what I mean? So, it's very difficult to be original.
Yeah, I think the students should read and research on past content, but then come up with something of their own. It does not mean your idea just should come out of nowhere. I mean, spending 4 years or how many ever years in school means you're studying other people's findings and research results and things like that. But it means that by the end of this time, you should have some ideas of your own or takeaways from your own to be able to back it up with the knowledge information that you have. So if I write a 30-page paper, it's unlikely every single thing I say in this paper is brand new. I should be able to argue for my point with a lot of takeaways from other people's findings from before.
Right. I agree.
Okay,
so we'll agree. Okay.
But the thing is that, you know, I really want to emphasize here, even a lot of Chinese people haven't done, they haven't even abided by the very basic principle, which is no plagiarism. I don't know whether you guys have the idea, because here we're talking about the originality, but a lot of people even haven't reached the level of no plagiarism. Let me just give you an example. Three higher up officials there in PetroChina. I can just name them because their names have been reported a couple of years ago. They are Xu Fugui, Dai Jian, and Wei Qiang. Three high up officials, and they were actually found to be plagiarized in their doctoral theses. And for Xu Fugui, he's a very high up senior manager in PetroChina. His doctoral thesis is just 100% without missing any single diagrams or stats, copied from a master dissertation. Right.
I'm surprised that people think that they can get away with it, because now there's so many high-tech, they are called high-tech anymore, it's just softwares that can easily detect whether this is an article, a thesis that's been plagiarized or not. Like, if you do plagiarize, then pages and pages of words would turn out red, and that's how a lot of universities over the world manage to pick out the bad people who have plagiarized.
Right. Detection technology is one thing. Another thing is that if you're talking about the master level or doctorate theses, they will be published online in databases. When people just cross-check and find out that these two papers actually exactly the same thing, and how...
Right. And, you know, we are not talking about graduate level programs, but just going back to undergrad students, and He Yang mentioned earlier, or Luo Yu rather, these students, is it really necessary for all undergrads to write a thesis when they graduate?
That's a good question, because Luo Yu, I need to ask you this, because you're educated here for your undergraduate degree. Is it necessary that every Chinese student in this country, before they graduate, they need to write a thesis or dissertation as such?
I think for the undergraduate level, yes, the answer is yes. Okay. However, it varies from one major to another. If you're art or you're majoring designing or art, probably you cannot write a dissertation, can choose to write, have a art piece.
Okay. But for most degrees, you need to write one.
And what is your reasoning for that? Why do you think everybody has to write a paper?
I don't think everybody should be writing a dissertation. Like LSE doesn't require all the students to write. I mean,
but in China, do you think it's necessary for every student before they graduate to write a paper?
That's pretty much what.
Yeah, that was my question.
Yeah, the main debate today. Well, okay, you guys seem to have the similar position, like you said earlier, that you don't really think this is, it's not possible, basically. That's what you guys have been saying, and also what the professor has been saying.
Well, I don't think it's impossible. I think it should be an option, because
originality-wise?
No, thesis-wise. To write a thesis before graduation as an undergrad student, because I went to a school in the U.S. that did not require a thesis. Mm-hmm. And for the students who are ambitious enough to write one, they will be rewarded when they graduate to graduate with honors. Mm-hmm. And that shows on your transcript on your diploma, which is great. But for me, I was, you know, I had other things. I just didn't want to write one, so I didn't. And I graduated without any problems.
Yeah, so here's a question, just to clarify. So for anybody who's written a thesis, they get an honor?
If you've written a good one. Well, if you're writing a good one.
Yeah, that makes more sense. And just to offer the UK perspective on this, it's not necessary for undergraduates to write a thesis. You get to choose whether you want to write a paper, a dissertation or thesis, or you can do like a coursework project.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So similar to what how they do
I
it in the U.S.
I think you should show competency before you graduate, but that form of competency does not have to be a paper per se. Like Loi said, a lot of students before they graduate have other things to worry about, like finding a job or moving somewhere, and you may not have time to complete a well-written paper. If that's the case, then why should everyone be forced to do it?
Well, but those are kind of excuses, aren't they? If we say that writing a thesis is one of the most important things to get you graduated, if that is the system that you're in, then you have to get it done.
But we're saying maybe the system can be changed.
Yes, we're saying that we're giving suggestions.
We're giving suggestions.
Yes, and our WeChat listener, Appian, is giving a suggestion too. She's saying university authorities can revise the rule of this thesis thing, that students can pick their topic at the third year instead of the very end of the last year, the fourth year.
Right. The main thing about the writing dissertation stuff is just like a random stuff. All of a sudden, you are given certain topic and have to meet up with a professor you barely know before, and you have a discussion with him or her, and then the topic will be decided, and then you spend, well, more than over 90% of students spend less than 1 month on a paper writing, according to some of the data we have at hand. It's not really appropriate to write a dissertation.
Yeah, I think people need to have better understanding about the endeavor. It's like writing a small book. You don't spend a month or 10 days before graduation to do that.
But
you
anyway.
Start much longer before.
But anyway, I finished the four dissertations.
Four dissertations?
Because I have four degrees. Masters, 2-4 bachelors. And I think...
Wow!
Why?
You know, I just... because I never have enough, right? So
because
I
like
just
to
keep
be
on
in
studying,
school.
Studying.
Okay.
And from my experience, I think it's very, very good. And you can use a collection of different ideas and especially make
your
you figure
ideas,
out.
Your ideas, it should be.
And it actually helps you figure out which sort of areas you're really interested in and you want to have your future endeavor into it. And
did you find it difficult? Sorry, did you find it difficult to have your own original ideas all the time?
It's very
four
difficult.
Times?
It's difficult.
But you did.
When it comes to originality, it's difficult.
Mm.
That's true.
I could just give you another example. Like,
yes, please.
When I wrote a dissertation, it was about New Oriental. Back then, I was working as a part-time teacher there in the school. And I wanted to write about the internationalization of New Oriental, the training school. Mm. And I had direct communication with Michael Yu, the chairman, CEO of the company. Mm. And he replied me directly saying that we don't have any internationalization strategy. Mm. We're even closing down our schools there in Canada and United States. I said, okay, it's okay. I have my own frameworks and use my own imagination to some extent and map out the future. If there is any possibility for the school to be expanding, what could be the strategies? And that's my dissertation. And the supervisor saw certain kind of originality in the paper.
Yeah, it's like a business plan.
Yeah.
And I would say for some majors, it will be easier to have original ideas than others. If you study accounting, I'm thinking it's probably harder.
You can't be that creative.
Right? If you're a literature major, then you can read books and have new ideas. But if you're doing, say, accounting, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's probably less probable.
I see what you're getting at right here. And I think in a way this professor who's actually stirred up a lot of controversy by saying we should just cancel this is actually
Originality statement.
Yes, a statement that you claim this is all original work that you've submitted that should be canceled. I think it's kind of brave of this professor to point out the elephant in the room and say, guys, let's stop pretending and make some real changes. And that's how great human endeavors start. That's what I would say.
Well, granted, the statement does not seem to have prevented cheating problems across China, right? We still have people who cheat. But I don't think it should be eliminated because it's an honor code. You certify that you did your own work. I think it just needs better clarification about what it really means to be original. Again, original does not mean my idea has to be distinctive from everyone else's. I don't think that's possible.
All right. You're listening to Roundtable with myself, He Yang.
刘燕,
傻傻分不清楚。I'm always confused, but the gentleman sitting in front of me right now is 罗玉。Oh my gosh. I do apologize if I get the name wrong. And there is Victor Ning, and I always get this name right.
Good.
Phew!
Okay.
Yes. Coming up next, a wake-up call service is provided on certain bus routes in Henan Province. Would exhausted travelers worry about missing their stops? No more. Stay with us.
Roundtable. Connect the dots. Paints the picture. Debates the big issues. Every day from 1 to 2 p.m. on Easy FM.
You're listening to Roundtable. And also, I'd like to respond to some of our WeChat listeners as these messages are mounting up. And there is, oh dear, where are you? One of our WeChat listeners, Atu 1.0, I found you. He says, guys, you finally realize that there's a lot of listeners like him that is listening to our live show in a really sneaky way.
There you go.
Totally you undercover. Oh, Adu, thank you for making that effort. And he has a question, and he's saying, how can I use a Bluetooth earphone, instead of the traditional earphones that have the wires? So, yeah,
You can probably just connect it to your phone. I don't have one myself, but you should be able to set it up quite easily. You buy a Bluetooth earphone and then connect it with your iPhone,
right.
I think.
Okay, so...
Or computer.
Okay, so you have to connect it to your smartphone or your computer, but not to your radio. I think that is probably the part that he's a little bit confused with.
Mm.
And all of our listeners out there, if you have a solution for Adu and many other people who are enduring a similar problem, please send in solution messages and enlighten us, and we'll make sure to tell everybody how to listen to Roundtable so your boss doesn't find out.
Well, if you do get caught, you can argue that you're practicing your English, so you're actually, you know, doing professional development.
Yes. All right. Well, we'll have to talk about our last topic of the day, and it's a really cute story, actually, I think. A bus company in Zhengzhou, central China's Henan province, has launched a wake-up service to prevent sleepy passengers from missing their stops. Would exhausted travelers worry about missing their stops? No more. Guys, how is this wake-up service implemented?
So basically, the drivers will be notified about their names and destinations, and then...
Like how?
The passengers tell them when they get on the bus.
Yeah, when they get on the bus.
Oh, great.
Yeah. No much technology, I'm afraid, at this stage. The drivers will then inform passengers upon arrivals at their destinations. And this idea actually came from a small incident that took place last month. A young man missed his stop after falling asleep on the bus. And he was actually on the way to his first day at the new job.
Oh,
and he felt very regretful.
Yeah, well, that's pretty bad. I think a lot of people have safety concerns, right? The bus driver is supposed to be driving the bus and not thinking about who's getting off and falling asleep or not. But maybe with an app, I think in 2015 in India, in New Delhi, people came up with this app reminding people using GPS, I assume, where they need to get off and what time. So to prevent sleepy passengers from missing their stops and important things to do.
Yeah, I think that's a really good thing. And also the way that the Chinese bus drivers are doing it in Henan province. Yes, it's not high tech, but it's warm and it shows that people care. And I think in this day and age, to have a little bit more human contact with even strangers, that is cool.
As long as the driver is not falling asleep, I'm all good.
Oh, that's true. He needs to be awake and alert all the time. That's all we have for today's roundtable. Bye for now!